Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Hallelujah. Go with me to your Bibles to the book of Ruth, chapter 1. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. I pray the Lord will let me get the message out the way I believe He put it in. I want to talk about this morning, is there bread in the house? Is bread in the house? In the book of Ruth, chapter 1, here's the way it reads. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab. I want you to underline, they went to the country of Moab. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. Verse 4 says, now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the other name was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab. Now understand this, or underline this. For she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. She heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Would you just raise a hand to him and say, Lord, give us your bread. God, give us your bread today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bethlehem, Judah. Now, I may bore you for a little bit, but I want you to hear me because I want you to get a hold of this. Bethlehem, Judah means house of bread. Well, Bethlehem means house of bread and Judah means praise. So we could interpret the Bethlehem Judah as the house of bread and praise. Now, Elimelech, the name Elimelech means, and I don't think I have this on slide, I might, but the name Elimelech means God of the King. Elimelech means God of the King. Naomi means pleasant. Mahlon means sickly. And Chilion means cursed. So now, if we were to read the story, the way that, in the reference of what their names mean, it would go a little bit like this. God of King and Pleasant lived in the house of bread. They had two sons named Sickly and Perfect. Each day, God of the King went to work in the evening and Pleasant had a nice meal on the table. He would come in and rub Sickly and Perfect on the head and sit down to eat their nice suburban meal in the house in the city of bread. Life was great. However, one day, God of the King got laid off. He got laid off of work and had to come home and tell Pleasant, Sickly and Perfect they were going to move. There is no more bread in the house of bread. That's what he had to tell them. There is no more bread in the house of bread. A place that was known for bread now has no bread, and we can't stay here. We've got to do something different. If we stay here, we're going to starve to death because there is no more bread in the house. So we're going to go to another place, and the name of this place is Moab, which means cursed. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? We're going to leave the house of bread because we're hungry for bread, to go to a place called cursed. We're going to leave the house of bread and praise so that we could sojourn. I like the New King James, or the King James Version says, they sojourned in Moab, which means they only meant to go there temporarily. We were only going to go there temporarily, but we'll be back. How many times have I heard church people say, well, we're just out of church for a little while. We're going to be back. We're just doing our own thing. We'll be back. Don't worry about it. We still know God. Mm-hmm. People will put up with a lot of things if they are still being fed. Bethlehem, our house of bread, represents the church, and Moab, our curse, represents the world. So here we are, we leave the house of bread to go to a cursed place looking for what we should have got at the house of bread. So we get hungry for bread, but if we can't find it in the house of bread, then we'll go wherever we can to try to find a substitute for the bread, because Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So we'll leave the house of bread and praise to go to the curse to try to find bread. It just really doesn't make any sense. But people will do a lot of things if they're still being fed. They will tolerate inconveniences if they leave full of the bread of life. Come on, somebody. They will sit in a gym through the summer without air to be in a house of bread so they can be fed. They will sit in a crowded building such as we once did, packed to the gills and not having room for anything being hot. But because we were fed, we will stay and we will do what is necessary. They'll sit on folding chairs if we have to, if we recognize that there is bread in the house. We will put up our good clothes and put on our work clothes and come to the house of bread if we recognize that we leave full of bread. People only stay in the house of bread for one reason, that they are being fed in the house of bread. But stop feeding them and they have to move on. The only time you leave Bethlehem is when you get so hungry you are starving. Now, I know that as I prepared this, I thought to myself, the only time you leave Bethlehem is when you get so hungry you're starving, but sometimes people just refuse to eat. Sometimes people go on a hunger strike and then try to blame other people for their own eating disorder. Wonder why you're not healthy, and it's because you're bulimic. You feed yourself and get full of it, but then throw it up as soon as you get alone. Help me, somebody. But point one is this. The next question we have to ask is, we know why they left Bethlehem, but why did they go to Moab? Why would you leave the house of bread to go to a cursed? Why would you leave? See, as a pastor, I don't like anybody to leave our church, but there's three families. I was really glad when they left. But anyway, that's a whole different scenario. But I don't understand when people leave the church and then go into the world. I'll feel okay if they leave our church and go to another church, because if they go from the one house of bread to another house of bread, but why would you go from the house of bread to a cursed? I don't understand that. Why did they go? Why did this father take his family? Why did this father take his wife and two children and go to Moab? It's one thing to leave the church, but it's another thing to go back into the world. Surely you know that someone somewhere is still baking bread. Surely someone somewhere is still serving up some bread. Surely you don't have to go back to the world. Moab means cursed, the cursed of the world. God put when put there when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. It's one thing to leave the church, but why go back into the world? Ruth lost her husband. Ruth lost her husband and her children while they sojourned. She lost her children and her husband while they were at the cursed place. Huh. I've told this to one father. He said, well, we're just going to take a break from church. And I told him this. I said, you know, hopefully maybe you'll make it back, but my concern is for your children. My concern is, will your children make it back? You see, some people have been hurt by some church and the pain made them leave. Some people have been hurt by pastors, and probably I've hurt some people, I'm sure. But there's also then some other people in the church have hurt other people in the church and they leave. Whatever the case is, you cannot let the pain of what you're going through allow you to leave the blessed place or the house of bread so that you could go to a cursed place. Because the cursed place is where the devil wants you to go. The risk that you run by going to Moab is it may be there where your children die. You want your children to die in Moab? You were raised in church, but your children were raised in Moab. Help me, somebody. See, the Bible says if you raise up your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, when they grow old, they won't depart from it. And I hold on to that. I've got two daughters that they're serving God, and I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. But I know that there are family members. I know there are people sitting right here that you raised your children in church, but yet they might not be in church right now. You hold on to that scripture. But here's the ones that I'm scared for. The ones that, yes, you were raised in church, but you didn't raise your children in church. You know the way home, but your children don't know the way back to bread and praise. The only thing they know is Moab. You heard the songs of Zion, but your children have only heard the lyrics of the world. You were taught that Sunday was a day of worship, but your children were taught that Sunday is the day to go to the beach. You were taught to give the Lord a tenth of your income, but your children will spend a tenth of theirs on alcohol and drugs and psychics and psychiatrists and trying to look for all the answers when you knew the answer, but you didn't tell them what the answer was. I know the bread ran out where you were worshiping, but was it worth your husband dying without God? I know that your bread might have ran out. Why? What? But was it worth your children dying in Moab? You see, I know you were hungry, but Moab is not the answer. Hear me, church. I know that people are hungry. Listen, people are not hungry. People are hungry for supernatural. And if they can't find it in the house of God, they'll go to the psychics. They'll go to the 9-100 or the 900s. They'll go to all these other people, these mediums and things, because they're looking for the supernatural. They don't have to look any further than the house of bread and praise. We try to make it, well, we don't want that stuff in church because it just freaks people out. I'm telling you right now, the Bible says signs and wonders shall follow them that believe. Trust me, if you don't want it in your church, then I promise you, then it will not be in your church. I know you were hungry, but why did you go to Moab? It'll only take your family, it'll take your eternal life, it'll take your hope. Don't go there. But thank God for verse 6. Verse 6 says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the country of Moab. And she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. The bread will show up. Point number 2. The bread will show up. Listen to me. Sometimes you just got to keep doing what you know to do. Let me just ask this question. How many in this building, and I'm going to go first, how many has ever went through a dry spell in God? Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't say God was dry, but you went through a dry spell. Every time I go through a dry spell, usually it's because of something either I've done, something I haven't done, or either God is letting me go through a dry spell so I'll know what a dry spell looks like. Come on, somebody. I know know what it is to go through a dry spell for a whole year. I wasn't the pastor, but I was a preacher. And every time I would get up and preach, I didn't preach every Sunday, but when I would get up and preach, the Lord would come and the Lord would move, but I wouldn't feel nothing. And I went through that for a year, and I'll never forget on a Sunday afternoon, Pastor Benny Jones had asked me to speak that night, and I was in my little study in a little mobile home that Sherry and I lived in, and I said, "That God, I said, I'm so tired of preaching without feeling your anointing, without feeling your spirit, but God, I will do it because I know that you've called me to do it." And what was crazy is I would preach, I wouldn't feel anything, but everybody else would be going nuts. And I said, "God, I'm so tired of it." And God said, "Tonight." Or no, I'm sorry. I went and preached that night. The Spirit of God came on me. It was so strong and so strenuous in my body that I almost couldn't even get home. They had to pick me up and take me to the car. And God said, "You couldn't take it if I poured this out on you every day. But here's what I'll say. Here's what the Lord said to me. But because you have been faithful this last year of testing that I've had you in, you will never go another day in your life that you won't feel or sense my presence unless it's your fault." And I wish I could say, Cliff, that I've never had another one of those days, but I've had some of those days, and you know what? Yep, it was my fault. But here's what I do know, that the bread will show up. Lord, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to fight here. I'm going to stay until you visit Bethlehem again. Lord, I'm going to stay in the altar till you visit the altar one more time. I'm going to stay in the bread, in the house of bread, until I can smell the bread baking one more time, because I know you are faithful. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, a priest would go into the holies of holies. In there was the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant, a candlestick and a table with bread on it. The bread was called showbread. S-H-E-W, showbread. The modern interpretation of that word is showbread, S-H-O-W. Or you could say show up bread. Lord, that's what we need today. Lord, just show up bread. Because people are hungry. People are hungry. How do you know? Because, listen, all you got to do is watch the news. All you got to do is talk to people. That people are hungry. They're trying to fill a void that nothing can fill except the bread of God, the breath of God, and the presence of God. Hallelujah. The bread was a symbol of God's presence through His Word. Another way of understanding this is by asking a question. Did the bread show up today? Did the bread? Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Over the bread was the candlestick that lit up the bread. The candlestick was a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Only when the Holy Ghost shines upon the Word can God truly be revealed. Oh, hear me closely. That when the Holy Ghost shines on the Word is the only way that God can truly be revealed. Because the Word comes alive showing you who God is. Well, who is God? Let me help you with something. He's not just what you feel. There are some people, the only way they know God is by the feeling of God. Let me tell you something, there are counterfeits out there. That's why you need the Word of God. You need the Word of God, so when the Holy Ghost shines upon the Word of God, you know who God is. It reveals who He is. You need to know who He is. You need to know who He's not, and you need to know who He is. You need to know that you need to know what the real thing feels like. Not charisma, not just a little, some rabbit ran across my grave. No, you need to know the unction to function from the Holy Ghost. Oh, I can't get no help up in here, but I'm going to preach anyway. The Word comes alive showing you who God is. I know you're saying, but did the bread show up? Did the bread show up? I know you read poetic literature, but did God show up? I know you left with something to think about, but did God show up? Help me, somebody. I know you thought it was pretty, but did God show up? I know you was true to tradition, but did God show up? I know you think she had a pretty voice, but did God show up? I know you liked the licks on the piano, but did God show up? I know you heard the beat of the drum, but did God show up? I know the choir is famous for their classical, but did God show up? I know you thought the organ was majestic, but did God show up? I know that you thought communion went great, but did God show up? I know the altar call, many were in the altars, but did God show up? What I want to know, is there bread still in this house? And I say, yes, did the bread show up? Show up, bread. Holy Spirit, come now. Hallelujah. I know the minister made you laugh, but did God show up? Oh, I like the way they present that. Did God show up? I love the drama. Did God show up? Unless God shows up, we're just one more in a notch of many community clubs. What makes the difference? God. What makes the difference? The anointing. What makes the difference? The bread of life. He is what makes the difference. I know you like it loud, but did God show up? I know you like it quiet. Did God show up? I know you like it cold. Did God show up? I know you like it warm. Did God show up? I know you like a long service. Did God show up? I know you like a short service. Did God show up? That's the question we've got to ask each and every Sunday. Lord, did you show up? Did the bread show up today? Where is there any bread in the house? Verse 6. Part B says, so she heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Point number 3 is this. Is there bread in your house? Well, yeah, Pastor. Glory to God. We have some good services. All right, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. But is there bread in your house? Is there bread in your house? She heard, Ruth heard, in Moab that there was bread in the house of Bethlehem. When there is bread in the house, they hear about it everywhere. When there is bread in the house, they will hear about it everywhere. You know why? Because you won't have to have a circus to get them in. Yeah? You won't have to have a contest to get them in the door. You won't have to have just a celebrity to draw the crowd. If the bread is in the house, nothing wrong with Friend Day, but you don't have to have Friend Day to get people to show up. If there's bread in the house, you don't have to trick them and then treat them. There is bread in the house. People are hungry for the genuine, true bread of life. Without a radio commercial, without internet, without texting, without IM, without Snapchat, without any of these things, Naomi heard that there was bread in the house. Nobody sent her an email. Nobody sent her a flyer. She heard that there was bread in the house. And can I tell you, the best advertisement is one beggar telling another beggar where they found bread. Huh? The grapevine of the hungry moves faster than the electronic signal. Did you hear me? The grapevine of the hungry. You know, there was several years ago, we stopped doing it, but there were several years ago, and I'm not sure exactly how, I mean, it was like 10 years ago almost, that we got on some kind of website or something that said our church helped people with prescriptions, we helped people with gas, we helped people with food, we helped people with electric, we helped people with rent. I mean, man, we were just, and that year, I don't know, we gave away about $10,000 that year trying to help people, and I can't tell you one person we added to the church that year, so we quit doing that and started feeding people, and you know what? We didn't have to advertise that El Shaddai gives out food. People, the hungry people find out where to get food. Come on, somebody. Hungry people find out that there is bread at that house, and the next thing you know, they just come along. Matter of fact, one hitchhiker told me, one homeless, I don't know if it's true or not, all I got is his words to go on, but I've heard it several times. One hitchhiker told me that there is some kind of symbol. I don't know if they still do it. This was about 10 years ago. There is a symbol that they would put on telephone poles to tell other people, other homeless people, where they found help. And so you would get one person that would come to the church for help, and if you helped them, then you got 20 people that came to the church for help. All right? Can I tell you that you and I need to open our mouth and tell people where we found bread? You and I need to open our mouth and tell once again where we found bread for our soul. We need to tell somebody once again where we found focus for living. We need to open our mouth and tell some people once again that I don't know, I don't understand everything that goes on in that old church over there. I don't understand everything that they do, but one thing I do know is that there is a God in Crystal River, that there is a God, and the bread of life is in that house. Can you say amen? See, listen, church. People have come to the house of bread too many times looking for the presence of God, and they have left too many times unaffected by what goes on in most churches. Let me just tell you, I don't mean to be ugly, and I know we got a few guests here today, and I don't mean to be rude or anything like that. But if you know, we are not a seeker-friendly church. What do you mean by that, Pastor? Some people don't know what a seeker-friendly church is. Seeker-friendly church means we want to dumb down the message. We just want to make you feel good. And then go home and possibly you'll come back. That is not our vision. We are a seeker-friendly church. Because the Bible says those that seek Him must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Matter of fact, let's go take it one more step further. Because He said that they that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. For God seeketh such a people to worship Him. So we are a seeker-friendly church, but we are seeking Him. But I want you to know that if you don't know Jesus, I don't want you to feel comfortable in here. I want you to have white knuckles gripping the back of the pew, back of the seat. I don't want you to be comfortable. I want you to know that if you're hungry, there is bread. Hey, but Pastor, I don't know if I can take that kind of bread. I don't know if I can take you just spitting everywhere and sweating on everybody. I'm just not sure about all of that. Let me tell you this. Hungry people don't care what they eat. I don't want to drink from the stagnant waters of 20-year-old revival. Thank God for that revival. But I don't want to know just what God did. I want to know what He's doing. I don't want to know just where He's been. I want to know where He is and where He's going. Hallelujah. People are hungry for the life-giving bread of Jesus. They want bread. We need more bread. Not more talent. We got talent. Not more charisma. We got charisma. We need bread. We need unadulterated bread. Not just jokes, not just singing, not just poetry, not just tradition, not just religion. We need bread. We don't need just personality. We don't need just manipulation. We don't need spiritual white magic, political correctness. We don't need news headlines. We don't need emotionalism or formalism. We don't need intellectualism. We don't need dazzling words and phrases and all the dazzling lights. All those things might be good. We don't need crowd dynamics. What we need is more bread. What we need is more Jesus. What we need is the bread of life. They will not leave Moab until there's bread in Bethlehem. They will not leave Moab. I typed that wrong. But they will leave Moab when they hear that there is bread in Bethlehem. You know why? You know why some people, how many people do you know that have said, well, I've tried church and there ain't much difference in the church than in the world? Boy, isn't that horrible? And you know what I say to them? You're right, I'm sorry. But let me tell you the difference. That there are drunks in the church. There are drug addicts in the church. Just like in the world. There's adulterers in the church. There's fornicators in the church. There's liars in the church. Everything you can find in the world, you will find inside the four walls of church. But one thing you won't find on the outside is a manifested presence of the bread. What you won't find in your sphere, and I'm saying, don't get me wrong, don't leave here going, well, pastor said Jesus don't show up unless you're in church. That ain't what I said. The Bible said, Jesus said, if there are two or three gathered together in my name, I'll be there. Uh-huh. I know what it is for God to come down in a bar. How do you know? I was there. Not as the guest speaker. Not as a talent, not as a singer. I was there. And somebody else started. Matter of fact, me and my cousin Jimbo, we were at the bar and Jesus come down in the bar and began to convict us right where we were. Matter of fact, Jimbo was drunk. Jimbo come over to the table. Man, Ronnie, I'm drunk. I said, I know it, man. You don't need to drive tonight. He said, I'm not going to. I said, dude, what's wrong with you? Man, you know, we know better than this. I said, what are you talking about, boy? He said, if Jesus were to come back, Ronnie, we'd split hell right open. You know we'd split hell. I was like, shut up, dude. I want to talk about that. Here, have another drink. He said, man, you know, no, we can't do this. We got to get it right, man. We got to get it right. We don't want to go to hell. I was like, man, you're making me feel like I'm in hell. Quit. The anointing came in that place. Why? Because I could talk about out of the mouth. I could talk about how when you begin to praise him out of your mouth, if you begin to give voice to it, I could talk about that. I ain't got time. Let me finish up. The Bible said, verse 16 says, but Ruth said, entreat me not to leave or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Naomi returned to the house of bread, but she didn't come empty-handed. She came back with something. Ruth came with her. Ruth came with Naomi. She didn't come back empty-handed. Ruth was born in Moab, but had lived there her whole life. She had never been to Bethlehem before. There are people who have never tasted the presence of God's presence. You know, I remember the night that Dina got saved. And Dina and Mike came to church, and Mike had been raised in church, but Dina had not. And we had one of those services. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It was pandelirium. It was crazy church. And man, we just knew that old Dina was going to jump and run. But when I gave the altar call, Dina got up from her seat and began to walk down the aisle. I about had me a Holy Ghost conniption fit right there. And I said, my God, why? She had never tasted. She had never experienced the presence of the bread. She had never tasted the bread. But when she got a taste of the bread, she had lived in Moab all of her life. She wasn't raised in the house of God. But when she tasted the bread, it changed her life. You may be afraid to bring your friends. Oh, listen, the Holy Ghost knows what they need more than you do. You might, well, you know, I do this too. How many always warn people when they come to here? We'd love for you to come to church. Would you come to church with us? We would love, you'd love our church. Okay, we'd love to come. Okay, let me just warn you. We're not normal. Now, you might see some people going, but it's all good. Now, if you see Pastor's right hand shaking, you might want to get out of the way. Right? We always warn people. And I'm cool with that because it's not normal. But here's what I do know. Listen, there'll be a man more than likely sit right up in this area here in the 11 o'clock service. He came and he was an elder in the Lutheran church. Studying with the Jehovah Witnesses. Visiting a Pentecostal church. He was as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. He didn't know which way was up. And I asked him one day, I said, why did you keep coming? He said, because there was something that I felt and that I tasted that I never felt and never tasted before in my life. And I had to find a little bit more about it. And I understood that I loved, that I felt the love of God in that place. I had somebody who was an atheist who came to church and they said, listen, I'm going to tell you one thing that I don't know. I don't believe the way y'all believe, but y'all really believe what you believe and y'all is cool. Good. We had a Catholic come one time. Asked me. He said a Catholic came through the front door of the old building over there and I was the only one there. And I said, what time does Mass start? I said, Mass starts at 11. And he said, oh, are you the father? I said, yes, I am. So he came to church, and man, we had one of those church services again, and bless God, he was leaving. I was shaking everybody's hand, and he came through. He said, hey, how'd you enjoy Mass? He said, man, y'all really enjoy Mass. Y'all really have a good time. I really felt something I've never felt here. I said, well, praise God. He said, listen, Father, before I leave, could you bless me? I said, absolutely. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, go in the peace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. People get just too wrapped up. I don't give a rip. I got to hurry now. Y'all on my time. Well, I had a Catholic lady. She's gone on to be with the Lord now. But she used to come to church and she'd bring her rosary with her. And she'd be in the altar praying a rosary. I said, you know, we really don't pray like that. She said, you pray the way you pray, I'm going to pray the way I pray. And between the both of us, we're going to get the Lord to touch us. I said, in the name of Jesus. She fell out in the rosary right there on her foot. What are you saying? People get messed up because of methodology. All I want to know, is there bread in the house? Oh, Lord Jesus, I got three more points. See, the problem is this. Let me just hit it real quickly. There are too many people who live in the sight of the steeple, and yet they will have nothing to do with the church. But I want you to know, people are hungry. There are people who drive by our churches every day who are sick of religion. I say to you, so am I. They're tired of rude Christians. Self-centered Christians who claim to be the light of the world but won't go out of their way to help anybody. You know, I went riding what are we called? Riders of the Fog, thank you. And I sat down to eat lunch, which we had a great server. She commented on Facebook today. Oh, yeah, she sure did. I told her I was going to call her name, Melissa. I forget your last name, but you also know who you are, aka Stacy. But I sat down to eat, and I spent $15 for lunch and with a tip. And I thought, you know, I could at least do 1.5 bucks for my lunch. But it's hard to say that I love God and not love what God loves. It's hard to say, I love God, John, but I hate people. Because people is what he died for. People what he was crucified for. It's hard for me to say, I love God, but I'm not going to help anybody. Because somebody helped me. People are hungry. So hungry that they will spend billions of dollars this year on psychics in search for reaching the spiritual realms. So hungry that they will sneak through the back doors of fortune tellers to try to find out a little bit of their future. They will put more trust in fortune cookies than they do scripture. They will go to seances and attempt to contact the great beyond. They will go to the desert and look for UFOs. They will flock to sites to see a rock configuration with the face of Mary. I remember a few years ago, they'll drive to St. Pete to see a building of glass with the shape of Mary and set up altars unto it. People are hungry. They will buy into the occult, wait at the tables of soothsayers, search for their answers in mysticism and breathing exercises. They will turn to the message of the ages that tells them that they can find their answers in a life of debauchery. You'll find peace when you get with that, when you get with that person that you know. You'll find peace when you get the job. You'll find peace when you get the house. You'll find peace. It doesn't come except for in the bread. They sip from the fountain of life, but never drink enough to quench their thirst. My God, hear me, church people. We'll go to meetings that talk about a higher power, but don't connect with the higher power. There is a higher power. His name is Jesus. They're hungry. People want to connect with him. Ironically, churches in America are filled with people who have the same hunger. There are people sitting here right now. We can talk about the world, but the world ain't in here right now. You are. And you're hungry. You've tried church, you've tried religion, you've tried this, you've tried that. But why don't you try the bread? Not me, not our worship team, not our church, the bread. Is there bread in this house? There are churches that are filled with people who can win a Bible trivia contest but still don't know him. Religion will tell you where God has been. But only a relationship can tell you where he is. Only a relationship with him will reveal where he is at now. Oh God. Let me give you this. I gotta give you this last one. Because, see, most people in this country, we don't really know what it is to be hungry. We think we do. You know, you ever. I'm thinking about what one guy said. Me and an acquaintance of mine, we was walking and this guy walked up to us and he said, "Man, could you spare a few dollars? I haven't ate in 3 days." And the guy that I was with, he's not a Christian, but he said, "You hadn't ate in 3 days? Good Lord, I can't go 3 hours without eating." So we gave him a few bucks. You know, well, he was probably lying. I don't know. But at least I had a few bucks to give him, and I'm not homeless. I don't know if you heard me. If not for the grace of God, there we go. Hungry people. Oh, I can't go. I got to give you this. Hungry people are not picky eaters.
Come on.
You know, I'm a little picky eater. I'll admit that. I'm very picky. But if I get hungry enough, I'll eat broccoli. I got to be sure enough hungry. I got to be about starving. But when you're hungry, you're not that picky. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When we get hungry for more of God, not only will we be filled, but those who are truly hungry will come as well. So you got to get out of the way of hungry people. See, some of you men, we have maximum assault every third Monday. Some of y'all need to come. We fast all day. Let me tell you, when it's time to eat, after we're through praying, after time, you don't get in the way. Because them men, don't they clip me? Man, them men, let's go eat. Let's go eat. I've been working all day. I'm hungry. Hungry people. You got to get out of the way of hungry people. Hungry people. Starving people don't wait sitting with their napkin folded. Hungry people don't act the same way as full people. Full people, we come to the house of God.
Come on.
We know how to sit. We know how to worship. We know how to, yes. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Hungry people. Starving people will eat the other half of your chicken. I know I've gone long, but I'm sorry. I was in Warszawa, Poland. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't Warszawa, it was Krakow, Poland. And I was talking with the host pastor, and you know, I'm a little nice nasty. I mean, if I don't know you, I surely am not going to eat after you. I'm not going to drink after you. But I'm sitting there talking with the host pastor, and we're across the table, and he speaks English, so we're talking, and he's finished his meal, and he's just sitting there with his arms on the table, and I got my plate that I'm still working on that I'm talking to him with, and he's talking, he has his fork in his hand. And as we're talking, he reaches over, gets something off my plate, and puts it in his mouth. Now my first reaction is, dude, I don't know you like that. My first reaction is want to be offended. My first reaction is, how dare you? But then I understood. Because I looked at the missionary, I just kind of went. And the missionary just kind of grinned, laughed a little bit, and just. And then I understood that as a pastor over there, I took everybody out to eat. They don't get to go out and eat. So because I wasn't eating fast enough, the host pastor thought I didn't like it or I didn't want the rest of it. He was wrong on both occasions. But that's what hungry people do. Hungry people go, well, if you ain't gonna eat it, shoot. Hungry people go, well, if you ain't gonna worship here, let me go. Hungry people, well, if you ain't gonna finish, I'll eat the other chicken. I'll eat the rest of your chicken leg.
Come on.
Hungry people go, I don't care. It's not the right kind of music that I like. Hungry people go, I don't care. I want the bread. I want bread. Stand to your feet. Hungry people don't act the same as seasoned people. you'll always recognize hungry people. Because they don't know you're supposed to wait for the third song to start worshiping. You'll always recognize the hungry people. They're the ones that don't have any rhythm. But they don't even care. Because they're hungry. Hungry people don't know that you're supposed to wait till the altar call to hit the altar.
Come on.
Hungry people don't know you're supposed to get up from the altar when everybody else gets up. Hungry people. Hungry people will eat what you left. I was in Uruguay. We had all went out to eat. And I had a piece of meat. I'm not really sure what it was. But it had some fat on there, and I was cutting the fat off. And when I got through, the other pastor said, Bishop, you going to finish? I was like, bro, I'm finished. He said, oh, no. He ate the fat. He ate the stuff I didn't want. He ate the fat that I felt was not good for consumption. See, some of you, some of you will leave here today and you'll go, oh, that was a nice sermon. Some of you will go, oh, that wasn't nothing. Some of you will leave here and go, oh, my Lord. But some, hopefully some, somebody who's hungry. Because you don't even care. It's the bread. I need 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 the bread. Somebody needs to go to Moab and tell them that there's bread in the house of Bethlehem. Turn to your neighbor, tell them there's bread in the house. There's bread in the house. God's calling for the hungry today. See, the hungry knows that the family focus hour has started. But the hungry knows, I know I need that, but right now I just gotta have this. The hungry go, I know that's necessary. I know I need that, but they're going to start without me right now because I need this. I need the bread of life. I need this. I need this. Come on, who would join me? Let's just take a few moments. Who would join me? Come on, stand me. Come on to the front. Who's going to join me? I'm hungry. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry, Lord.
Hungry for your presence. Hungry for your bread, Lord. Hungry, Lord.
Come on, call out to him. Call out to him.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.